We are back. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Macro Golf. I'm joined with Joe. Joe, how are we doing?
All very good. Thank you. All very good. Surviving the winter, just about.
Honestly, this week I think I've been getting itchy like withdrawal symptoms from golf. I think like towards the end of the last season, we started playing my best golf ever, and now I'm just like want to play, and just can't at the moment. It's tough. It's so tough. So yeah. Being in a little bit withdrawal symptoms this week, I've been like grabbing my baby club in the living room and just constantly working on backswings and things like that, like just going out of my mind.
Yeah, and I'm not a massive driving range guy anymore either, so that's kind of killed that off. And then yeah, just not being able to get out and play is tough, but
yeah,
plenty of other stuff we can do in the winter to
100%.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about some of that today.
Absolutely. Yep. Just finished my workout for this morning, so luckily I'm sitting down for this one. I know you're stood up, but yeah, my legs are feeling like jelly at the moment. So today, guys, we're actually going to talk about how to build your kind of ideal workout plan, what that might include: sets, reps, exercises, rest periods, all of that juicy stuff, tempos. It's something that's taken me, I think, years and years and years of time to develop. And I think now I'm finally writing plans that I'm actually happy about. But as a trainer, I look back on some of my earlier programs for clients and myself, and I just think, what was I doing? I don't know if you feel the same there, but God, yeah.
Yes, I think there's different levels of this, right? And obviously we're not going to try and teach everyone in this podcast, you know, how to have, I mean, well, you're probably 10 plus years of experience now doing this, right? So like, we're not talking about getting to that level from this short podcast, but what we can probably do is share some scientific knowledge, some experience, and the skill that we've been able to develop over years and years of doing this to actually make it quite simple in terms of, you know, if you just try and hit these fundamentals, then your plan will be much more efficient than it would be if you kind of either didn't have a plan or just grab something online that you think might be useful for you. So I think we're going to be talking generic, but we're also going to be talking specific for golf as well. But you're right, like, we're still learning. That, you know, there's no way that, I'm sure in 10 years time from now, we'll be writing different programs to what we're writing today. And, you know, we're just trying to give people a bit more information that's going to help them have, you know, just a little bit more of a clear approach when they're trying to put a workout together for themselves or trying to put a program together for themselves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, how should we get started with this, Joe? I think, so if I was building a plan for a client, my first question is always, how much time can we dictate to the gym? What are we going to be spending in the gym? How many workouts can we get in within a week? And what's actually realistic? There's no point writing a plan for three sessions, so then I'm going to split up all the movements I want into three sessions, and then we only get in twice a week, and then we're missing out a load of these movement patterns, right? You've got to know, firstly, what's realistic, how many times can you get to the gym, and probably how long when you're at the gym can you spend on your workouts.
Yeah, and I think, you know, how far back do we go, right? Like, also, what are you trying to achieve? And also, how much does it mean to you? Because someone might say, you know, I've got time to go once a week, but they really, really, really want to build a load of muscle. And that's kind of when we had a conversation with people, say, all right, it's probably not that, you know, probably not that realistic. You probably won't be able to build that much muscle if you just go once a week. So then you need to decide, do we adjust the goal, or do you find ways to be able to get to the gym more than once a week in other ways? I think you're right. I think the amount of time they have is really, really important. That's something that needs to be looked at. There's obviously loads of other factors, like what equipment they have access to, you know, as we said, with their goals and loads of different stuff. But yeah, I think maybe if we cover, well, we're going to cover all of this, so it doesn't really matter what order we go in. I think all of this stuff needs to happen. So
goals is first. I think, like you said there, what's the purpose of this training program? If we could say to you in 12 weeks time or 16 weeks, you want to end up like this, what would that be? Is that gaining muscle, getting stronger, getting quicker, just getting more mobile, feeling better, less pain? Pick one. What's the main ones we're trying to get out of it, and then we can dictate how the plan's starting to look like.
Yeah, and then even without realizing, you probably there, you said, you know, 12 or 16 weeks. Like, people said, what the hell? Like, why 12 or 16 weeks? Where's that come from, right? Why not 2 weeks? Why not 2 years? Like, people don't understand also, like, the periods of which we can start to see different change, right? Like, I'm sure you've taken people with lower back pain and within 30 minutes you've made them feel better.
Yeah.
But you've not taken someone that wants to build more muscle and in 30 minutes build more muscle. So it's kind of understanding what it is you want to achieve and also at what periods you can start to see that change happen, if that makes sense as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're opening ourselves up for about a 10-hour podcast.
I was about to say, we really need to be a bit more concise. So yeah, we're going to say, pick a goal. Pick probably, I'd say one, what I'd like to do with clients is pick one main goal and maybe two or three that might, because they're all linked, right? They're all semi-linked. So if we're making progress on one, we're probably going to make progress on other things for longevity, injury prevention, all of that type of stuff. It's all tied into getting stronger and perhaps gaining muscle and getting quicker. So pick a couple of goals. Then say, right, how many times can I go to the gym each week? How much time can I spend there? So we've got our goals. We've got how many times we're going to go a week, how long we're going to spend when we're there, right? Now we break down into what equipment we've got available. Is it the gym? Am I working out at home? And then we've kind of got to be realistic as well within that is if we are working at home and we do want to get stronger, do we actually have the equipment to work to those 1, 2, 3, 4 rep maxes and really gain strength, right? So it's all tied in there, but without, like you said, getting sidetracked onto every single little possibility there is. We've got that. So we've got goals. We've got how many times a week, how long we're there a week. We've got equipment.
Yeah.
From there, Joe, what would your next steps be?
I'm going to go backwards again. Sorry. We did a podcast on if you had 120 minutes per week, so 2 hours a week, how would you split up that time and what would you do with it? We could ask ourselves the same question here, right? Because it might be that they can get to the gym twice a week, but actually because they have to drive to the gym, they have to get changed, they have to do these things, that actually takes out 3 hours out of the week. Okay, so they might say, okay, I've got 3 hours to train per week. Well, then we need to think, okay, well, what goal is it they're trying to achieve? And actually, maybe those 3 hours per week are better served as 4 45-minute workouts that can be done from home.
Yep.
So I think we definitely need to think, how much time do we have per week? And then how do we want to divide that time out in terms of how many sessions we want to perform? Right.
Yeah.
I know we're going into way too much detail and people want to just say, okay, tell me what exercise to do and how many sessions and how many reps. But this is the stuff that makes a difference between people adhering to these workouts. And this is when you said there about, I look back, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago and think, what was I writing? Like, this is something that I feel like I've got better as a coach is saying, right, we could write the best program in the world.
Doesn't matter.
If that person doesn't have time to do it, this is the worst program in the world, right? So I've definitely managed to change my programs to make sure that I'm focusing on adherence first and then the quality of that session after. So
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something that you mentioned it there without mentioning it. But for everyone, first of all, be realistic. How much time per week can you put into this? Then let's build a plan around that, because there's no point in you building the plan and then trying to squeeze it in your week. It just won't happen.
No. And then you just feel bad for not doing it, and then you end up giving up, like happens all of the time.
Exactly.
All of the times. So what we're actually saying, me and Joe, is that we actually probably write worse plans than we ever used to for clients, but they're better plans because the clients are actually sticking to them. So it might not be the perfect, right, you're in the gym 5 hours a week doing X amount of mobility, which if they follow it, they probably see better results. We're actually writing plans now that we know that clients can stick to, that don't make them feel guilty, that are just really realistic.
Yeah, and we're working with, you know, just from our style of training, we work with science and we work with things that have been proven. But when you look at the science, those things are, you know, even these scientific studies where they're taking people in and doing stuff, they have dropout rates. You know, so it's not as if everyone's perfect and this person has a problem. Like, it's normal for people to drop out. And the key is trying to have as little dropout as possible. But then also what it is we're trying to use the principles of people that did continue, what change did they get? And we're trying to then, you know, manufacture that around to then work into people's schedules. So, I think adherence is number one. So first of all, well, big thing is find a good amount of time that you can commit to that you know is going to be realistic, whether that's
absolutely
time or time. Yeah,
absolutely. Good. Right. So we've got that there. Now we're going to start looking at exercises.
Yep.
I probably always start with one or two exercises, and it'd be A or B. It'd be either or for clients, and that would be a foundational movement. It would be either some sort of bend or some sort of hinge. So whether it's a squat, lunge, split squat, or some sort of RDL, single leg RDL, or some type of movement like that, that's typically where I'd like to start with with my clients.
Yeah. Yeah, I go a bit weird here. I'm not too dissimilar to that at all, but I try and do one, at least one, like I'll start, say for example, they can go one a week. Right? Yeah. What would you do? I would try and do one exercise per like movement.
Per movement pattern, yeah.
But obviously we can talk about that now, what they are. So for example, you know, me and Sam are going to be talking language. So we'll try and get this actually out because he knows what I'm talking about already before I've even said it. So we'll try and cover, there's kind of like five big main movements, but with golf, we try and add a sixth. Yeah. So we're trying to cover some movements instead of exercises. And if you think of things in movements rather than exercises, it makes it a lot easier for you to then try and program
movements. Plan and get them all in. Right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So Sam mentioned the first one there, which would be a hinge movement. We've then got a squat movement, which is also Sam's favorite. We've then got push movements, pull movements, and lunge movements. And if you can cover all five of those movements with exercises, then you're going to be in a pretty good position in terms of a well-rounded session or plan. What we like to do with golf is we obviously then just like to add a little bit of rotation or anti-rotation as a sixth one. I do the same as you. I just think instead of thinking what exercise, I think what pattern do we want to do? And then we try and work exercises off of those patterns. So there's six main patterns that I would try and work on. If someone can only train once a week, then I'll try and do one exercise that for each pattern. Yeah, and that, so six exercises that would mean one workout. If they can do two, I'll do two per one, three per one. And then we can obviously talk about how we divide those out into different sessions as we go, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. Absolutely love that. Completely agree. I just word it slightly differently with the exercise, but yeah, getting those, if you guys can get those movement patterns in and just take your minds away from, right, I've got to hit glutes, hamstrings, shoulders, back, biceps, stop thinking muscle groups. Just by getting the movement patterns in, you will get every single muscle group that there is in there. You're just changing it ever so slightly, and for golf and for performance, I think it's slightly better to see it that way around rather than thinking, right, I'm going to the gym and doing shoulders and biceps or shoulders and triceps, whatever it might be.
Yeah, which I fully believe this now, that because all of that other training comes from traditional like bodybuilder style training, and I used to program a lot of that stuff. Well, before I got into golf, I was programming a lot of that stuff for bodybuilders and for people that are building physiques. And actually, I do now believe that if I'd have used that method with them, I actually believe their transformation would have been better as well. I believe that even for building muscle,
yeah,
that format is a better format than training muscle groups.
It's definitely a better way to program in general, I think, thinking about movement patterns. Should we break down a few of the movement patterns and just give some exercises for people to just so they've got some?
Yeah, great idea.
Perfect. So we've got squat, bending from the knee, where we've got tons of different movements, obviously front squats, back squats, goblet squats, heels elevated, sumo squats, all your type of squats, which I think we've probably got 30 different variations in the macro app. So if you search squat, you've got
let me check that. So let me get the app open now. And actually, we'll realize, so anyone that does have the app, you'll be able to do this now, like live with us as we do this. If you don't have the app, just go and download the app for free, because you can do this in the free version. If you literally just go to search and go to filter, you can do everything that we're talking about here within the app. So this is one of our four beliefs. So if we go to exercises and go to search, where it says movement patterns, we've got these six patterns. So what you can actually do is you can start to build your own plan. And if I now just go to squat and I click apply, then I can see we've actually got 44 exercises in there that are squat exercises, and that's not including any machines either. So actually, if you think a leg press machine, that would also count as a squat movement. So there's tons and tons and tons. Like, I believe that there's also a million other variations of all of these, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of exercises you can do for squat, right? And I suppose where we're going to get with this is then it depends, you know, which one's best for you.
Yeah,
that's going to depend on what exercise you have, what equipment you have access to, what your skill level is, what your goal is, what time you have, like all of that stuff is then going to play a difference on which of those, for example, in the macro golf app, which of those 44 exercises is the best for you.
Yeah. What suit
and how many of those you're going to pick.
Yeah, absolutely. What equipment do you have, et cetera, et cetera. Fine. So squat, lunge, fairly simple. Obviously any kind of lunges you're doing there, guys. Hinge is slightly more complex, but if you go same sort of thing, we've got 22 different hinges there. So, like I said before, we've got RDLs, deadlifts, glute bridges, kettlebell swings, windmills, snatches, cleans, all those types of movements there, if you can think about them. If not, just like Joe said, jump on the app and just have a look at some of the exercises. They're all different examples for hinges. If we then went on to push, for example, push, you could argue that would be split into another two sections. So you've got like a horizontal push and then a vertical push. To simplify that, guys, that would be, so if I'm thinking horizontal push, that is a press up, chest press, any sort of movement that's on that plane there. And then if I'm thinking a vertical push, it would be any sort of shoulder press, arms above the head type movement there that you're pushing up and away from the head. And then you would do the same thing with pull. So you have a horizontal pull, like, so if you're thinking of a rowing movement, or a vertical pull would be a lat pull down, pull up, something, some movement type like that.
Yep, and exactly then, that.
And go on.
I was just going to say with that, like, when people are going to say, you know, because that now is getting to the point where they're thinking, okay, how am I going to work that out, whatever, whatever. Again, like, we thought about all this stuff when we built the app, like, that's why we built it this way. So someone could, for example, just go movement pattern, and they could go area worked, shoulders, and then they could say whatever equipment they've got access to, which might be, for example, a barbell, and it's going to show them, which in that example, there's a couple of results there that are going to do exactly a vertical push using the shoulders with a barbell, and you've got those exact exercises. So
yeah.
When people are going to start to get confused with this, like, this podcast is very much tied to what we can do for people in the app. And,
yeah,
you know, if you've got access to that, you can pretty much just build your own workouts following this guideline that we're going to give here.
And so quickly, guys, I cannot tell you how long it used to take me when I started writing programs. Like, I used to have a huge A3 piece of paper with all my different movement groups and then exercises off of that. And then used to constantly try and tie them in. Like, this app now, writing programs, is so simple, easy, and quick, and so much more effective. Like,
yeah, I feel like we've been a bit selfish. Like, we just basically built it for us.
Absolutely, yeah. I onboarded a client last week who's like, oh, I love kettlebell work. So I'm like, perfect, equipment, filter, kettlebell, and then do all my movement patterns from there. I'm like, it's just so, so simple, so, so easy. Our last movement pattern that we haven't spoken about is rotate. So that would be rotation work and obviously anti-rotation work for the core, which we can kind of break down into our next steps, I think. So after we've spoken about the movement patterns, Joe, we've started to get those out. We've said how many times a week we're going. So are we going to get them all in every single workout? Are we going to split them up depending on days? If clients prefer to do a push pull day, for example, then absolutely fine. Get all your volume in there, and then the next workout you're getting the other movement patterns in. That's all up for you guys to kind of play around with, discover, and have fun. Like, me and Joe have completely different workouts, how we like to train, in terms of splits and movement patterns, and it's all personal preference. That is what you're going to enjoy the most, and if you're getting that right, then, like we said before, the adherence is going to be higher.
Yeah, like a great example of that is you prefer full body sessions. So say, for example, if you had twice a week, you'd probably prefer to do full body, where I prefer to do upper body, lower body. Like, that's just personal preference, right? Like, again, there'll be different results you can get from that and different benefits of each. But for most people, they'll be able to get a benefit from either of those two ways if the programming is correct in terms of the sets and the reps and the intensity and the whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I suppose that's the key thing you mentioned. There's no, like, absolute perfect. There's no, this is the only way. There's so many variations, and it's just finding your variation that's going to work for you at that time.
100%. We don't need to get into the nitty gritty of the 1% better than this or that for pretty much everyone listening to the podcast, unless you're a professional athlete at that top 0.1% of the population. This training, you will see such huge gains.
Yeah. I spoke to one of my clients this week, actually. And he is going to visit Florida for a golf trip, and he was asking about the Pronius Motion testing, where we can do power testing, and we can measure where your power comes from, or any kind of saps in power, and you can work out all of these different stuff. And I said to him, I was like, you're probably one of the few clients I would actually say that is worth doing for you, because that would be really useful for us to see that for him. He's very, very high level athlete now. He's trained for many years. He's really got down to his small 1%. But I'd probably say for most people, it's not going to be needed. We know that there's going to be, you know, gaps in your power production in all these different areas. And as long as we hit these main groups, we know that we can train all these things. So yeah, we don't absolutely need to be so specific. Just find a way that works for you. And that's going to be good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So I suppose what's next is we've got our exercises, we've got our movement patterns. Then next would be sets, reps, and rest. I like to do all those three together because they're obviously all impactful on each other. And then that, guys, would go back to what the goal is. So if it is to get stronger, we're probably not looking to do more than 4 or 5 reps on certain exercises, probably your bigger compound ones. If we're looking to build muscle, then literally, like, studies have shown you can build muscle up to, I think it's like up to 50 reps you can build muscle now. So you've got a rep range of probably anywhere between 8 and 50. Pick one that you like and have fun with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just make sure that you're working at intensity, right? Like, that's the one thing we've not mentioned there is we've said sets of reps, we've said rest. But I suppose these are all dependent also on weight used and the intensity that we're working at, right? As you said, Sam's saying there, you want to work within the 4 or 5, you know, if you were trying to build some strength, but nothing better be heavy.
Absolutely,
you better not be, you know, doing 4 or 5 and being able to do another 15. So, this maybe exceeds slightly the length of this podcast. We could go into so much detail here.
In terms of just weight selection, because this is a conversation I've probably had a gazillion times the last month or so. If, let's say the weight is 8 reps, or the reps is 8, so they've given you 8 reps. If you have got to 8 reps and you can easily do another 8, the weight is too light. Vice versa, if you're getting to reps 6, 7, even 8 is like impossible, it is too heavy. I typically, especially for the first few months with clients, don't program weights because it's up to you to find out those first ones. And then when we've got that, we can start getting a bit more complicated and going off percentages of 1 rep max and things. But it's, that all changes as well, depending on days, depending on how stressed you are, how much sleep you've had. So your weight selection can change. But if you can stick to the reps that you've programmed yourself, or that the program is, and build it around that. So you should be just able to finish the set, leaving probably 1 or 2 reps in reserve, unless you're doing pure 1 rep max, 3 rep max. And then, like, you should just be able to get that lift up, basically.
Yeah. It's something I've done a lot more in the last year or so, is use reps in reserve as the measure. There's lots of different ways we can measure intensity. We can measure intensity through like a scale of saying, you know, how difficult is it on a scale of 1 to 10, and you kind of rate in that. I much prefer the reps in reserve method, because I think it's much more, people can comprehend it a little bit better, to be like, okay, you just did 10 repetitions. How many more do you think you probably could have done? Oh, maybe I could have done 2 more. Okay, so you had 2 reps in reserve. That's the number that you're working from, right? I think what's important with that is also is then thinking we can get really specific with it, and we can say, okay, maybe set 1 we work at this intensity, set 2 we work at this intensity, and set 3 we work at this intensity, and we build people up to that kind of final big working set. So there's so much stuff we can do with this. We obviously don't want to confuse people too much here, but just get an idea that we need to be working at a decent intensity, somewhere between 1-2 reps in reserve for a final set is going to be a good number for that. There are times where we will take people to 0 reps in reserve. We will push people fully to their maximum. And all of that has a place. But if you're working somewhere between 0-2 reps in reserve, you're probably in a good spot. Like, it's not going to make too much difference. And different days, you'll feel like you can obviously push yourself different intensities. Depending on what's
absolutely
going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, really, really well said. I'm trying to stay top level because I'm very tempted to go further, deeper into the weeds.
Too tempting.
We've got reps, then we've got sets. How would you go about choosing how many sets, Joe, for these types of things? Now we're getting into it.
It comes back to our goal, obviously. Also comes back to how much time people have got. Something we've not mentioned there is like the format of these sessions as well. Just typically from the nature of a lot of the clients that I work with, they're short on time. But they do want to build strength and they do want to build muscle. And we have to be very clever with the way that we program that. Maybe we reduce rest periods. Maybe we do things as a circuit. Maybe we do exercises back to back as supersets. Like, there's loads of ways we can do it. The number of sets for me is I try and look at the overall load of their week. I think that's quite important. How much golf are they playing? How many balls are they hitting? How many times are they training? And then trying to manage that to make sure we don't overwork them. It depends again on the goal. Like,
Depends on the club, but it also this one massively comes back to training history as well. If you've got if you've got a newbie compared to someone in the gym that's been in the gym 5-6 years, the total volume needed for certain goals completely changes there. It's hard to give a blanket statement for this one. But Joe said, I'd probably go based on how much time can you spend in the gym, and probably wouldn't exceed more than 4 working sets per exercise.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, some examples there. I'd probably be somewhere between 2 and 5. Maybe 5 might be if they're doing a big squat at the start of their session. They might do 5 sets of that, and they might build themselves up to a big set.
Yeah,
that's fine. Also considering the fact that maybe they're training from home and they don't have a lot of equipment, therefore their exercise options are less, which means they maybe need to do 5-6 sets of the same exercise because they don't really have any other choice, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're training from home and they don't only have their body weight, then their options for push and pull exercises are pretty limited. How do we do that? You know, we need to do more sets and we need to do more reps to find the intensity that way. So yeah, this is what goes through our heads when we're trying to build programs for people. Obviously the better you get at it, the faster you can get at it, and it's a skill. But hopefully people are getting the foundations here of what they need to consider to make something effective for them, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think what would be next. Tempo is one that's really fun to play around with, guys, here. Also depending on goals. Time under tension, obviously, if you're trying to build muscle, is very important. If you're trying to move quicker and gain some power, obviously the actual intent behind the lift, even if you're not moving it quickly, but you're trying to move the bar as quickly as possible, the intent is hugely important to gain speed and power there. So tempo is another really fun thing that you can play about with, and can ramp up the volume quite quickly, even if you're doing less sets. If you just take longer time under tension, you're getting similar sort of outcomes to just doing more reps and more sets.
Yeah, it's a great example of that. It's well said, because that's how we can kind of distinguish between some strength exercises, some stability exercises, some power exercises as well.
Yeah.
So we've only spoken about the movements, but for example, like a lateral medicine ball throw would obviously be, you know, quite like short in its tempo. It's going to be a quick movement, where a Palof press, for example, is going to be quite slow in its tempo. They're working in the rotational pattern, but they're both doing completely different things for what we're trying to achieve. So yeah, tempo is really important when we only think about movement patterns rather than exercises. Often the exercise dictates the tempo sometimes. Like a jump or a throw or whatever, or a plank, you know, obviously is different tempo. So yeah, sometimes that's definitely something worth considering, and playing around with tempo in the strength exercise is also a great way to make progress as well.
Oh, 100%. Right. And now we're getting to the ends of programming. I'm trying to go around my head where I would be at now if we've done all that. Is there anything we've missed off?
I think how long we do that program for is important. We're going to do a separate podcast on how often we change that. You mentioned at the start there, like the 12 to 16 weeks. We'll talk about that in another podcast when we do kind of like swapping stuff out, right? Periodizing exercises and periodizing plans. But yeah, tracking progress, I think, is a good one. Like making sure that we're having progressive overload on what we're
lifting.
Yeah, and just trying to make sure that we're progressing week on week is going to be key. That really is where the true result of the plan is going to kind of show itself.
Absolutely. That. Yeah, and which you can do within the app, guys, as well. We've got our little notes section today where you can say how your training was, and you can keep track of all your weights lifted in there. Really important to keep track of those things, just so, like Joe said, you can see that you're actually making progress, and to check the opposite to see that maybe you're not making progress, and why is that? Do you need to slightly take some volume out, or have you just not been tracking the weights and realize you've just been plateauing at the same weights for however long?
Or do you need to push yourself harder? Like that, sometimes that is the answer, right? Like sometimes we go for a few weeks, we see some progress, and then we're like, oh, we didn't go that last week because we didn't really go. And then we go back again, and we're like, oh, well, I better just go back to what I feel comfortable with. And then you go, and then you just never really make progress. Like sometimes it is just a case of try harder, and you will lift more weight. Like that does happen.
Yeah,
I thought absolutely. One more thing, but I think we should do it on another podcast.
Oh, he's leaving you guys hanging like that.
No, I think what we should talk about is how goal specific this should be, like how many of the exercises should look like a golf swing, how many kind of rotational golf swing movements should be included there, how much are we kind of including the golf element of all of this, because we've not spoken about it at all here. Yeah. But if you've listened to our strength training episode, we talk a little bit about that and our beliefs on that. And maybe we'll do a whole separate episode just talking about, you know, how golf specific your strength training should be.
That's a really good idea. Really good idea. Probably surprised quite a few people with our answers there. Right. Anything else that you want to add to this one, Joe? But I think as a kind of overall picture on how to build a plan, how to build a program, it's fairly conclusive that.
Yeah. Should we summarize? Should we do a little bit of summary of what?
Let's do a summary. Your memory is better than mine because I've forgotten about everything we've spoken about now. Start us off with the summary. I'll interrupt.
Yeah, I think to summarize, I think we just need to make sure that we're always thinking first about the goal. So what are we trying to achieve? And being realistic with how much time per week we can commit to that. Off the back of that, we can then start to think of how do I fit in all six movement patterns? So squat, hinge, lunge, push, pull, and rotate. And how do I make sure I'm going to do an exercise that covers at least each movement once throughout the week, ideally. What we can then do is we can then think, okay, what equipment do I have access to? What's my current skill level? What injuries or mobility restrictions do I have that might affect me being able to do some of these movements? And then, or what do I enjoy, I suppose, is also a key part of that.
Absolutely.
And then finding the exercises that fit each movement pattern that you feel comfortable to do with your time, equipment, skill level. Once you've then got your list of exercises, then we're looking at working out the sets, the reps, the rest, the tempo, again, based on your goal and based on how much time you have. We're then going to work on the intensity and what weight we're working on by trying to use a system of reps in reserve or an intensity or a percentage of our 1 minute max to make sure that we're working at an intensity that causes change. And then we're going to try and measure that week on week to make sure we're showing improvement week on week and make sure we're getting stronger, make sure we're improving, lifting more weight and being more intense with that.
God, there it is. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was on point. Absolutely. Yeah. Smash that. There you go, guys. I'm not going to say anything more. I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode. As always, if you've got any questions, we're more than happy to help people with planning and building programs. But like Joe said, if you want to download the app and just have a play about with it, you can just download it for free. And then there is a 7-day free trial to our full version there. But just have a play about with exercises, go on the filter. You've got all the different movement patterns. You've got all the different equipment areas worked. And actually one thing we didn't speak about, but we do actually have that broken down into strength, power, stability, within there as well for exercise types. You can be a bit more specific in the app. It's built to be user-friendly and so simple to help building plans and finding exercises that to change yours up.
Yep, go download App Store, Play Store, you can get it for free. And everything we've spoken about today, you can do in the app for free. So we're not tricking you guys into trying to pay for something. Like, you can download that for free, you can do all of that for free, and you can build your program in there for free. If you obviously wanted to do one of our programs in there, they are there. Or if you wanted to use our exercise demonstrations and all that stuff, that is in there, and that is a paid option. But you can for free build your own workout plans using that system we've put into the app. So yeah, go and take advantage of that, make the most of it, and put these principles into practice.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Catch you on the next one.